Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Friday morning, the 18th of September 2020. Andrew May's with you for the next half hour as we run you through the latest in the world of racing and sport. And let's start with the footy from last night. Well, it was a grind, to say the least, for West Coast last night. But the important thing is they locked in the 4 points. They're inside the top four for the time being. They've just got a barrack against Richmond and Geelong, hoping that those two teams slip up. A 15-point victory for the Eagles over North Melbourne.
Ryan, they converge effectively. Allen for his third. He's the fifth.
Meanwhile, in the US Open, we've had plenty of groups finish their round this morning. Tiger was able to recover on the 16th to finish at 3 over the card.
Cool. Again.
Oh, how about it?
Again.
Just the third birdie of the day. You're at 16, Nick.
So he finished at 3 over. He's 8 shots off the leader. Justin Thomas finishing at 5 under the card. Plenty of Aussies out on the course at the moment. We'll bring you the full update of every single Australian in the field. Next on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns after 6 o'clock this morning, and there is plenty to get through, as always, on a Friday morning on RSN. Phil Murphy will join the guys from the US, the early mail before 7 o'clock, and then the most important half hour of the week, Dean Lester and Nick Quinn with the Friday form from 7 this morning. Marcus Bontempelli, the Western Bulldogs captain as well, after 7:30 this morning, and then Boomer Harvey, the AFL Games record holder for the Friday footy preview. After 8:30 this morning, Michael Felgate returns with Racing Pulse. The Friday form focus with Sharky for the full hour after 9 this morning. Make sure you listen to that. If you miss it, podcast at rsn.net.au or download or subscribe to the podcast via your local podcast store. And then Hamish and Dean after 10:30 will join Gareth Hall, as always, on a Friday. And then Gareth will have all the form ahead of a massive weekend of racing in Melbourne and Sydney and all over the country. It is going to be fantastic viewing. Not long to go for those of us in lockdown. A week more of stage four, then we can look towards a little bit more freedom. Let's start the Breakfast Bite, though, with the footy from last night. As I mentioned off the top, an absolute grind for West Coast last night. 15-point winners over North Melbourne. 7-7-49, the Eagles. North Melbourne costing themselves with poor kicking. 4 goals, 10-34. Could come at a cost, though, with Josh Kennelly injuring his ankle. He went off early. Here's what Adam Simpson had to say on his injury post-match.
It's a new injury to his ankle. So, yeah, he's walking around. So I think it was more a precaution than anything, but we're going to see how he pulls up tomorrow. So I think it could be just a garden variety roll, but we won't know till he pulls up.
What's the exact injury?
I don't know. I'm like garden variety roll of an ankle. I don't get too involved. Is he right to play? No, he's not. Okay, what are we going to do about it? And after the game, it was just tight. He rolled his ankle. So we'll find out tomorrow. I'll tell you as soon as we get the info.
West Coast, their 15-point winners last night. They go to 48 points after their season. They're in third spot at the moment. Richmond and Geelong can go past them. Geelong with a superior percentage and Richmond with a couple of points after a draw. So it'll be interesting to see how that lies in a little while. Richmond playing Adelaide and Geelong playing Sydney. So West Coast supporters will be barracking for the Swans and the Crows this weekend, that's for sure. Let's head to Gil McLachlan now. He spoke yesterday about list sizes heading into 2021.
Understand the pressing need for clubs to make decisions on players, absolutely do. I don't know the exact number, but I do believe they can be smaller, personally.
So lots to get sorted for next season. What about the start of the 2021 season?
No, I think I'm confident that it'll be round one next year. What I've learnt this year is not to get ahead of ourselves and to be putting asterisks on things, and I think that's stood us in good stead. But, you know, Victorians, I know, are missing their football. Our clubs and players are missing being there, and we need to be playing footy on the MCG at some, you know, and I'm confident it'll be round one.
So hopefully crowds, round one next year at the MCG. That seems like a long way away at the moment, but fingers crossed. Let's finish with Gil after he had his say on postseason behaviour for some players who want to stick around and have a holiday in Queensland.
Going back to Victoria, but those who are staying with families and others are really clear about their accountabilities to the Queensland community, to the Queensland government, to our game for their behaviour, and then there'll be accountabilities for those who transgress, but I'm confident that people understand their responsibilities.
More footage come later on in the breakfast spot. We'll hear from Damien Hardwick, Scott Pendlebury, and a retiring Port Adelaide star as well. Let's head to the US Open Golf. And what about this for a highlight for our man on the Breakfast Club, Lucas Michel, who we spoke to a couple of days ago?
This is the hole Reed made the one on. And that is a nice place to pitch from. And how about that?
Nicely done by the man that earned a spot in the Masters and the U.S. Open by winning last year's U.S. Mid.
So well done to Lucas Michel, chipping in on the first day for a nice highlight. A lot of the Aussies at two over. He's two over through 11, as is Lucas Herbert. Cameron Smith also at two over, as is Mark Leishman. So four Aussies at two over the card. That's in fact how Jason Day finished his round as well. So hopefully they can make a few inroads, a couple of those Aussies on the back nine. Adam's got the best of the Aussies so far in a tie for 42nd. He finished his round at one over the card at wing foot. Looking down the leaderboard a little bit further, Scott Hend finished at four over. Curtis Luck finished at five over. Matt Jones is five over through 11. And all the way down to Ryan Vermeer, who is eight over the card from the United States. He is at the bottom of the field. At the top, the most important part, Justin Thomas at five under after his round. Patrick Reed finished at four under the card, including a hole in one. And Joachim Niemann, four under through nine. He is flying early stages, also in a tie for second there. Then there's a number of players at three under the card, headed by Rory McIlroy, who's in the clubhouse already. So I'm sure the boys will be keeping one eye on that through the morning. We'll bring you up to date with everything, especially from Australian perspective, throughout the morning on the Breakfast Club and also RSN Central. Let's head now to the world of the NRL. Well, it was a bit of an upset last night as the Canterbury Bulldogs got themselves off the bottom of the ladder, and they did it by beating the Rabbitohs, who were sitting inside the top four until just a couple of weeks ago. Let's hear some of their highlights from last night.
Remus Smith is getting there. Bouncing ball. Try time for the Bulldogs.
So they got off to a fast start, the Bulldogs, and they were never really headed. The final score, 26 points to 16. So the Rabbitohs might have cost themselves a chance at the top four. Here's Wayne Bennett. Not happy. He's not happy normally, but he was even less happy last night after a disappointing loss.
Oh, I think it's more of an attitude problem. And tonight, you know, we just we gave him 20-point start, and then we decided we'd get ourselves back on the contest. And I think the scoreboard finished up being 16-16 for the next 60 minutes. You know, they took their chances, and I think we got across the line three times and lost the ball. We didn't take ours. So. Yeah, just guys that, you know, could probably have a pretty casual outlook sometimes on how they're playing their football. It was a totally mixed performance between the good, the bad, and the ugly. We had all those moments in the 80 minutes.
We brought you the news yesterday on the Breakfast Bite that crowds could be back in Sydney sooner rather than later in terms of a 50% capacity. And that announcement yesterday was made official, which is great news for everyone in New South Wales. Here's the Premier Gladys Berejiklian on increasing stadium capacity for one-off events.
The health advice now says that major stadia in New South Wales are able to go to 50% capacity rather than 25%. But I do want to stress that there's a number of caveats in that. The 4 square metre rule in principle still applies, and there will be an expectation for people to wear masks when they're going to their seats. Obviously, once they're seated, they no longer need to wear the mask. But in getting to the venue and getting out of the venue, there is an expectation that everybody will be wearing a mask. Can I stress that whilst these major events, one-off events, will continue, I assume that outside of major annual events, the stadia won't be anywhere near that capacity. For ordinary matches or ordinary events, that capacity will not be achieved at all.
To cricket now, and Mike Hussey, yesterday on Fox Sports, had his say on Glenn Maxwell and where he should be batting in the order?
And I guess coming in at number seven, he's almost the last hope because, you know, the tail's coming in after that. And so with Australia in trouble at 5 for 70-odd, he could almost just play his natural game. And if it comes off, then Australia goes close to winning the match. If it doesn't come off, well, then, you know, Australia will probably be in a pretty poor position anyway. So it's the ideal situation for him to come in, play his natural game. And when he gets his confidence up and playing the way he did, it was just incredible.
Alex Carey had some interesting comments on where Glenn Maxwell should bat as well. In case you missed any of that, head to the website, rsn.net.au. The boys on the Breakfast Club chatted to him right after the win yesterday. Let's head to the rugby world now, where Dan McKellar has sprung a bit of a surprise change, bringing in a flyer for the ACT Brumbies ahead of the Super Rugby final, who hasn't played for 2 months.
Go back to round one of this competition. He hadn't played for 4 months, and he was pretty good that night, so... he's got plenty of footy on board, and we'll back him.
So plenty of Wallaby auditions happening on Saturday as well in the Super Rugby final, with Wallabies camp starting next week ahead of the Bledisloe Cup, so it doesn't stop for those international representatives. Time to take a break on the Breakfast Bite. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on a little bit of supercars action. Tour de France from last night. It was a nightmare again for Richie Porte. We'll bring up to date with that next, as well as some tennis and the rest of your footy news.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
For the first time in over 8 years, Polona Herzog takes down a top 10 player and reaches Rome last 16 for the first time in over 9 years.
There we go. That's quite a story. Herzog overnight, so wonderful news for her. She has defeated Kiki Bertens, the number 5 seed, 6-4, 6-4. Another big upset as well. Well, in terms of seedings, at least, Victoria Azarenka, former world number 1, unseeded in this tournament, defeating Sophia Kenin, the number 3 seed, 6-love, 6-love, wiped her off the court. So the Italian Open continues. On the men's side of things, unfortunately, from an Australian perspective, John Millman went down. He's the only Aussie left in the draw, and he's now been eliminated. Diego Schwartzman beating him in straight sets, 6-4, 7-6, comfortably in the tiebreak, 7-1 in that second set. So Schwartzman heads to the next round, as does Grigor Dimitrov, and Rafael Nadal will play a little later tonight, along with Novak Djokovic. So plenty of action in the Italian Open over the next couple of days as we approach the quarterfinal stage tomorrow. Let's head to the Tour de France now. This is how the stage finished. It was a bit of a procession in the end.
He is the new leader of the King of the Mountains classification. They come to the finish line together. An iconic image for an iconic performance for two stars of the sport. Kwiatkowski on the right, Carapaz on the left. It is time to celebrate. And it's Kwiatkowski who edges across for his first Tour win.
So they were so far ahead, it was basically like a celebration on the line. They had to go through a fair bit of gravel last night, and unfortunately, this is what happened to Richie Porte, the Aussie.
At the back, is it for Porte, or is he just struggling with the gravel? He's losing a bit of ground.
That's a front wheel puncture.
He's really struggling.
Is that a front wheel puncture for Porte?
He's struggling at the moment. The bike looked like it was having an argument with him, and the bike was winning the argument because Porte is in real trouble at this point.
He looked unable to turn into that corner. I think it might be a front wheel puncture. Be hoping there's team assistance up here. No,
it is.
Yes.
It is a front wheel puncture. That's why he was having that argument.
It's a shocking timing for Richie Porte. He cannot take a trick in the Tour de France over the last 3 years, so he lost a little bit of time there. He's still in fourth position, which is a great effort nonetheless. He's 3 minutes and 6 seconds behind the leader, Primoz Roglic, at this stage, the Slovenian. His countryman, Tadej Pogacar, is in second position, and Miguel Angel Lopez from Astana is in third spot in terms of the rankings. So Richie Porte, hopefully, he can make his way onto that podium, but he's got about 2 minutes to make up, so the job is ahead of him with the Tour de France heading through the mountains at this moment and not too long to go. Time to head to a bit of supercars action now. Craig Lowndes spoke yesterday about the challenge of Bathurst. He actually mentioned this on the Breakfast Club a couple of weeks ago. it's going to be difficult without much practice for the co-drivers, considering all the quarantining rules that have to be abided by.
We all go to Bathurst as co-drivers, a little bit green, a little bit rusty, and looking forward to obviously getting there anyway. But it really is going to be a very much who makes the least amount of mistakes when we get to Bathurst. I think that that's really going to be the big key is to support Jamie. I know that Tim Slay is going to be supporting Scotty, and that's really going to be important for him. And really, at the end of the day, we're just going to need a fast car when we get there.
Craig Lowndes speaking yesterday. Let's head back to the footy news to wrap up the Breakfast Bite on this Friday morning. We will start with the team changes for tonight. St Kilda taking on GWS at the Gabba at 10-8. Dan Hannabry and Jake Carlisle, two big ins for the Saints. Nick Hind has been omitted and Zach Jones is injured in what will be Rowan Marshall's 50th game. Meanwhile, two changes for the Giants. Stephen Cornelio comes back into the lineup alongside Jake Riccardi. Adam Kennedy has been omitted and Harry Himmelberg has been omitted. So another statement from Leon Cameron at selection there. So Himmelberg out, Riccardi in. Big news again, north of the border for GWS. So that is a crucial game tonight, kicking off at 10-8. It will be Lockie Whitfield's 150th game. In case you're just waking up, this is what happened last night. West Coast prevailing in a pretty tough night for the Eagles in greasy conditions up there. The final score, 7-7-49. North Melbourne, 4-10-34, costing themselves with poor kicking throughout the night. Let's hear from Adam Simpson, who I'm sure was just happy to bank the 4 points and at least give them a chance at finishing in the top four.
We came here to win, and I thought North, you know, a lot of people have been potting North, but they played with real spirit tonight. And, you know, every club's going through different situations. But when you're on the road for 12 weeks, and they've been decimated by injuries as well, we prepared for them at their best, and they weren't far off it tonight. So we got away with it. Our leaders stood up again in the last quarter and dragged us over the line. So I'm not saying I was really disappointed how we played. We could play better, but they just didn't allow us to. So full credit to North. But we hung in there. They missed some shots they should have got. We missed a few. But in the end, we stood up when it mattered, and we can sit back and watch the footy over the weekend.
So there we go. Barracking for both the Swans this weekend, and the Crows will be the West Coast supporters. North Melbourne finish their season 3 wins and 14 losses with a percentage of just 71%. Here's Rhys Shaw after the final outing of the year.
It was a really good performance, I thought. We've been obviously smashed from pillar to post for a while now, but we've worked hard, and tonight the boys were really consistent over four quarters, and I think it showed how the game was played. That was we dominated for long periods of time. West Coast took their chances. And that's probably where it's at. We just didn't take our opportunities, but I just thought the game was played in the right manner by us and the right way, and I was really, really pleased with the way it went. Obviously disappointed that we couldn't get the result, but I think the way it was played and the effort by the boys was fantastic.
Big game for Richmond. As I mentioned earlier, they have to win to put themselves for a top four chance. They currently sit the Tigers in fourth on the ladder, but if they did lose, Geelong could overtake them, and West Coast are already ahead of them. Let's hear from Damien Hardwick on the return of Shane Edwards this week.
He's a bit of a spiritual barometer, isn't he? And you know, the way he goes about his game and the way he goes about his business in the hub here has just been so, you know, important to us for the short time he's been here. He really does bring a smile to everyone within our organisation, and you know, we've got to watch his influence on the track today, the way he trains, the way he brings other players into the game. So he's certainly an important addition for us come this week.
Damien Hardwick here also talking about breaking Tom Hafey's record this week.
You know, to sit there and be, you know, talked about in the same sentences, Tommy Hafey, is quite embarrassing in a way, because I look at Tommy and look at him, and you know, he's won four flags and an incredible ambassador of not only our football club but AFL in general.
Damien Hardwick speaking yesterday. Scott Pendlebury, speaking of breaking records, he'll do the same thing in terms of most games played for Collingwood. He spoke about that ahead of Monday night's clash, which for the Pies is not quite as much of a must-win as it would have been if they'd lost this week, but still important against the Power.
Well, he hasn't decided if he's going to pick me yet or not, because I'm not sure he wants me to break that record. So that's probably where it sits with Bucks. I just wanted to have a long career. I didn't really have games in mind. I just wanted to maximise my potential and, you know, when I retire eventually, make sure I knew that I didn't leave any stone unturned. And I feel like at this stage I've done that. But, yeah, there's still a little bit more to go, I think. Every off-season I feel like it's the most important part of an AFL player's career, and I still wake up in that off-season hungry to go out and train and get better and be prepared to have, you know, a good pre-season, which leads into a good season. And, you know, every round one, you know, you walk in and you're nervous. Can you do it again? Can you back up? Can you play your role for the side? Regardless of a 2010 win or 11 and 18 losses, I think just playing finals, you understand the magnitude of those games, and they're ones you want to be in because they're so exciting. You know, the reason why I assume most guys play is to try and get a flag, and I feel I've given myself, you know, a fair opportunity at trying to get it by playing and being healthy for the majority of my career.
Looking at the other end of a few players' careers, we'll start with Justin Westhoff. He announced his retirement yesterday. He's just going to miss out on 300 games himself.
Probably no surprise to anyone, you know, even today, that this year's going to be the last year. And I've probably approached that over the last, probably the last year, to be honest, knowing that. So, and it's just probably just come to a head this week. I think there's still a little bit of the story to be told, you know, whether that's playing another four games, one game, or if that's, you know, I played my last game, then that, so be it. So, you know, there's obviously hopefully an opportunity for me, but if that's not the case, then, you know, I'm happy to, you know, the beers are still going to be cold, and, you know, I'll still have as many with the boys, you know, win, lose or draw, come to the end of the season. So that's something, yeah, I'm looking forward to.
And let's finish the breakfast bite this morning, hearing from Brody Smith. As I mentioned before, the Crows take on Richmond. The Crows have been able to turn their form around recently. They'll be hoping to continue it against the Tigers, as will West Coast fans with that top four position still up for grabs.
I guess the last 3 weeks, you know, we feel like we've built a lot of momentum and we're really rolling now. So we'd love the season to keep going. If you asked me 4 weeks ago, I was hanging out for it to be over at 0-13 because I was sick of losing.
Sick of losing there, Brody Smith, and we'll wait and see what happens over the weekend. So tonight's game, St Kilda taking on GWS at the Gabba. In terms of the ladder, we'll take you through the full ladder as it stands. The top eight, Port Adelaide and Brisbane on 52 points, separated by percentage in first and second. West Coast with the win last night moved to third on the ladder, but their percentage only 117. Richmond in fourth with 46 points, only 2 points behind West Coast. So a win will see them finish inside the top four. Geelong on 44 points. A win will take them to even with West Coast, but their percentage is far superior, so they would jump ahead of them into fourth spot on the ladder, assuming the Tigers win. Collingwood on 38 points in sixth position. St Kilda on 36 points in seventh. Western Bulldogs in eighth on 36 points as well. So that's the top eight as it stands. Those knocking on the door, Melbourne on 32 points and GWS also on 32 points. So it is going to be a cracking final round. Make sure you listen to all of the updates here on RSN through the weekend as we bring you some of the best Group 1 racing from around the nation as well. Can't wait for a big day tomorrow at Caulfield. Lots to get through on a very busy Friday, as always, previewing the world of racing and sport. Half White and Rammer about to take you through another Friday on the Breakfast Club. Don't forget Dean and Quinny after 7 o'clock this morning. Gareth Hall will be on RSN Central again with Dean from 10:30, as well as all the form and the Friday form focus in the middle with Mick Sharkey and Michael Felgate from 9 o'clock. Lots to get through on a very busy Friday. We'll chat again on Monday.